Israel, Am im Schma Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Cedar and the Reed, was written by Peter Barry.
My name is Yitzhak Ben-Jona, and I'm a rabbi. Now, there's no need to scratch your head and try to remember me. I am, let us say, a humble servant, content to do my daily best without any undue recognition. But I must confess to just a tinge of chagrin at the enthusiasm aroused by my announcement that Rabbi Simeon Ben Eliezer was on his way to visit our community.
Did you hear that?
No, it isn't true. He isn't actually coming.
I have received a letter signed by his hand. He arrives tomorrow.
Oh, blessed day.
How we shall be honored.
I.
He is a rabbi of the highest renown.
At last, a truly great man shall walk amongst us.
You will instruct us in our manners, will you not, Yitzhak Ben-Jona?
I'm quite sure he will expect no more of you than that you conduct yourself with seemly and reverent deportment.
The rabbi?
Yes?
Is there something the matter?
No. There's nothing the matter at all. And nothing was the matter. I was already reproving myself for having felt even a pang of such an unworthy emotion. I was delighted, I told myself. I was resolved to be delighted. And yet... At all events, the village bestirred itself with desperate haste to make ready for the celebrated visitor. The next day was beautiful, as Rabbi Eliezer and his scribe, Judah ben Gamalo, had slowed their donkeys to an ambling walk as they skirted the road leading to the village.
Ah, could anything be less than lovely on such a morn, Judah?
Good sirs and lord and masters.
What was that?
Give alms to the poor ere you journey forth hence, and heaven will reward you with youngsters and pence.
It is a beggar yonder at the roadside, ben Eliezer. See him raising his hat?
I see.
Good sirs and lord and master.
Your question is answered, master. There can be unlovely things on the fairest of mornings.
Verily and truth. Amazing how ugly the children of our father Abraham can be. What have I said?
Rabbi, what ails you?
Need you ask?
You've gone pale as death.
I pale at the callousness of my own tongue.
You have said nothing untrue. Heaven knows he's not a pretty sight to look upon.
And heaven knows as well that he is a man, created in the image of the eternal goodness. Help me down, Judah.
Down? Wherefore?
Is it not apparent? I must beg this poor soul's pardon for my heedless words.
But he heard them not.
It is enough that I have heard them.
But Ben Eliezer...
Judah, help me down.
Alms, my lord. Alms, good sirs. Alms for a poor but honest...
My friend... Forgive me.
What say you?
I say, forgive me.
Upon what cause do you say to a perfect stranger, forgive me?
I have wronged you greatly.
You have wronged me. I never laid eyes on you before.
Nay, but when I laid eyes on you just now, I spoke to my companion yonder, saying, amazing how ugly the children of our father Abraham can be.
Well, so what of it?
What of it? Perhaps you heard not what I said.
I heard, and what of it, say I? Think you it's news to me that I'm ugly? The world has scarcely made a secret of my ugliness.
I do not truly think you ugly.
Well, then you must be blind, or mad, or both. See here, old man, I'm well known round about as Mesha, the homely one.
You are known as such?
Aye.
By whom?
Why, by all the people of my village. As another man is Udal the shoemaker or Mihol the baker, I am Mesha the homely.
And you tell me this without resentment?
Resentment? Why should I resent it? Is it not true on the face of things?
Truth, my brother, lies rarely on the face of things.
I don't know what you mean.
Is it possible that human dignity can be so buried?
I'll be gone now, will you, and let there be an end of this.
I will go when you forgive me, Mesha.
There's nothing to forgive.
Ah, but there is, and I humbly beg your mercy.
If you'll put a few coins in my hat, then I may see my way clear to do whatever you want of me.
My purse is yours, Mesha, but what I want cannot be bought or sold. Forgiveness of man by man is a thing that is freely given.
So, all that I'm to get from you is talk, is that it?
Please.
On your way.
Hearken.
I've hearkened enough. Now, go and leave me be.
Say that you forgive me.
Look, I'll say to you that you have not wronged me, so let that suffice.
How can it suffice when I know that I have?
It cannot be that you have. If you wrong me, why, then I'm wronged by everyone, every day I live.
And that may well be true.
No, I'll hear no more from you. Why, Grant, have you to come interrupting a man in an honest day's begging? Out of my sight, say I.
Forgive me first for my foul transgression.
If it be so foul, I'll not forgive you until you go to the artist who made me and say, how ugly is the implement you've made.
Mesha.
And furthermore, if you won't move, I will.
Oh, wait, brother, wait.
Rabbi.
Tell me I'm forgiven.
Oh, will nothing discourage him?
How far will you go with this Ben Eliezer?
As far as I must.
Peace, let him go his way.
He has gone his way too long. I beg you, my son, forgive me.
Not to save your life.
I urge you.
Put the hope from your mind.
I plead. I beseech.
Is it not enough that you have wronged me as you have? Will you not at least stop hounding me?
Not save you, pardon me.
As the minutes ticked by, the sun had climbed steadily into the heavens. Here and there, a child had begun to wail, and the watchers in the village square were on the point of asking themselves if their illustrious visitor would never arrive, when abruptly three hurrying figures appeared around the dusty bend of the road.
Oh, is it he?
Indeed, I know not.
Ask Rabbi Jonah.
Aye, that is Simeon ben Eliezer.
Oh, happy day. Oh, day of glory.
How like a saint he looks.
How magnificent he sits astride his donkey. But that is not Ben Eliezer.
What?
Not astride the donkey.
No.
No. Ben Eliezer is walking. The second man in line.
Strange.
Most strange.
Who is that first man?
Yes, who is he?
He looks somehow familiar.
Little wonder he looks familiar.
What do you mean?
That's Mesha the homely.
Mesha the homely?
Is it really Mesha?
How could that coat be mistaken anywhere?
Of course it's he.
Oh, I don't understand. Simeon ben Eliezer seems to be following him.
Reasoning with him.
Pleading with him.
Can this actually be happening?
I don't know if it can, but it is.
What do you make of it, Rabbi Yitzchok? I'm at a loss to say anything. Save that it's time to go forward and greet our distinguished guests.
Oh, yes, sir.
Welcome to our village.
Welcome, Simeon ben Eliezer.
We greet thee, Master.
Master? Master, someone said?
Aye, Mesha, even so.
Quick, out of the way, man.
Well, whom do you address as Master?
Him who is walking behind you.
That? He's a master?
Aye.
Then may there not be many like him in Israel.
Huh?
What said he? May there not be many like him in Israel, he said.
God forbid. The insolence of the beggar.
I said it and I meant it.
Silence him.
Grab him. We'll teach him the price of affronting Simeon ben Eliezer.
Oh, grab him. Let me go. Peace,
my children, my brethren.
He did insult you, master.
If you would serve me, let him go.
But he...
Oblige me in this, my good brother.
Well, now... Maybe you're the ones we ought to learn.
Shall he utter such evil and go unpunished?
If there be evil here, 'tis of my doing. Yours. The transgression and the guilt are both my own.
But surely...
You must not harm him now or later, lest one man be punished for another's sin.
Let me understand this. Simeon ben Eliezer has sinned?
I tell you so, and you may take my...
What is it?
He's faint.
Quick there, support him.
Make way, stand back.
Who are you?
Judah ben Gamaliel, the scribe. My master is no stripling that he can walk 3 miles in the sun on the heels of an obstinate beggar.
Now I'm obstinate.
Please.
Aye, that you are.
In the name of heaven, make matters no worse. I bid thee hold thy peace, good Judah. He'll help me to my quarters.
Thank you.
It was scarcely the arrival we'd envisioned. As I led the way for the master and his scribe, there was more relief than dismay in my heart. This was the man before whose wisdom and virtue I, Yitzhak Ben Jonah, was to have bent. A sinner self-confessed. Well, the truth had supplanted the legend before the eyes of all. And though I sorrowed in my heart for Ben Eliezer's grief and guilt, I knew there was no need to bend now. Shall I deny I was gratified that I could stand again as ever, uneclipsed before my villagers, as straight and upright and unyielding as a cedar of the forest? Such were my thoughts as I saw Ben Eliezer safely disposed on a couch in his quarters and turned to take my leave.
Our thanks and gratitude, good Rabbi Jonah.
I'm honored to have been of use to you. And I trust a little rest will soon restore Simeon Ben Eliezer.
Fret you not upon me. I shall be better presently.
It were well you were, Master. The feasting in your honor begins at sunset.
Feasting?
I
think you I would feast this day?
What mean you?
Surely you would not turn away from the hospitality of these good people.
Surely a man shall not feast when his lips are bitter with the salt of unworthiness.
I say you err in this.
Say you so, Judah?
I say you forget yourself and your bounden duty.
My duty?
To go amongst the people and to teach them. Is this not your sacred task?
Aye, it is. And do I not teach them better this way, by precept of my penitence?
If I may say so, the villagers anticipate with much pleasure the honor of breaking bread with you, and
I can think of one villager who would find little pleasure in breaking bread with me, brother.
Who?
Your neighbor, Mesha.
Mesha?
Aye.
He would not break bread with you in any case.
Oh, would he not?
He is not invited to our gatherings.
Nay.
Therefore, will you not reconsider and sit amongst my flock?
My thanks, but no. Consider the example I would set by exhorting them to virtue, while I, the teacher, feast myself unforgiven.
Unforgiven?
Aye.
You are still intent that beggars shall forgive you?
There shall be no feast for me unless he does, Judah, son of Gamaliel.
If Simeon ben Eliezer's coming had been a disappointment to the people of my village, the news I bore from the master's quarters came as a calamity.
He will not feast with us, say you?
Nay, he will not, says he, unless Mesha the homely forgive him this transgression he's committed.
Why then let him forgive it, and at once.
He is not so disposed.
How dare he be disposed or undisposed, that squint-eyed, potato-nosed monster?
Peace, my children. Were Mesha twice as ugly as he is, if such a thought is possible, he still would have the right, when deeply injured, to grant forgiveness or withhold it.
But does he not know that by his obstinacy, he deprives us of an honor that may not come again?
What does he care about our honors? Since he has no part in them, he'd just as soon destroy them as preserve them.
Aye, the selfish gargoyle. Had I my way, I'd change his mind for him.
But you'll not have your way, Ben Solomon. There'll be no violence here.
Hold on a moment.
Wherefore?
He cares not for our honors, Selma said. But suppose now that we made our honors his.
What mean you?
Suppose that we invited Mesha to the feast.
At first, there was only silence. Then, like the breaking of a storm, debate flared forth. But from the start, the conclusion was foregone. Surely the best chance of dissuading Mesha from destroying our feast was to include him amongst the feasters. When the delegation approached, he was sitting in the doorway of his hovel, sorting rags. But he looked up with sharp-eyed distrust as I issued the invitation.
And what's your purpose, friends?
Purpose?
What do you mean, Mesha?
You know what I mean. What do you want in return?
Why, nothing at all.
Nothing?
Of course not. We like you, Mesha.
You like me.
There'll be sweet fresh figs and a cask of wine, and we want you to enjoy them with us.
Oh.
And, by the way,
We'd be pleased if you'd forgive Simeon ben Eliezer.
Oh, by the way, that's your cause and your reason. Of course, I should have known. Well, I'll tell you now, and I tell you clear, I'll forgive him when I get ready.
But, Mesh...
Your feast. You can take your feast with my blessing. Do you think I'm a creature who's to be bought for a handful of figs and a cup of wine?
Now, see here!
Hold your impudent tongue!
Don't offend us too far, I warn you!
In the name of mercy, stop this thing. Mesha does not offend us. It is we who have offended him. Of course he's not to be bought for a handful of figs. And it was this that we have tried to do here. This precisely. As if he were not a man with a right to make choices of his own.
If he's a man, then let him act like one and forgive Ben Eliezer.
Let him act like one, you say. But have we ever paused to treat him like one?
She is right. We do ourselves no credit here. Besides, Mesha has made it clear that he will not forgive Ben Eliezer. So let us take our departure.
Rabbi Yitzhak.
Aye?
You quoted me a little incorrectly. I said I'd forgive him when I got ready.
Well, isn't that the same thing?
Except that if he'll come and apologize to me in the village square, I may be ready now.
Oh! Does he really mean it?
I think he does.
Do you jest with us, Mesha?
No.
You will really do this thing?
Aye.
Wherefore, Mesha?
Because, as a man with a right to make choices of his own, I choose to.
And Simeon ben Eliezer apologized to Mesha the beggar. In front of all the village, he stood before him with clasped hands.
I do indeed with all my heart regret the evil that I did you, and my soul shall be forever in your debt, if you will grant me pardon and forgiveness.
And Mesha lowered his eyes to the cobblestones as he pardoned and forgave. And a cheer went up to the setting sun, and the housewives scampered away to spread the banquet table. Gloom departed from the village like a raven taking flight, and Ben Eliezer straightened his shoulders as though a heavy burden had fallen from them, and strode off to his quarters to prepare for the feast. It was then that I noted Mesha standing apart and by himself. And suddenly the need to know the truth laid an irresistible hand on me. Before I was fully aware of what I had done, I had crossed to his side and spoken.
What difference now it's over, Yitzhak Ben-Jonah?
I want to know. I need to know.
Why?
I can't say why, because I don't quite know. But tell me what it was. What was it he did to you?
Well, if you must know, he remarked upon my ugliness.
And?
And what?
What was it he did to you?
That's what he did to me. He remarked upon my ugliness.
Surely this was not all.
Shall I make up some more for you?
Do you mean to tell me that this was the sin of Ben Eliezer?
Why ask me? The word was his.
Yes. Yes, you're right. It was.
I turned away from him and hurried down the street to the master's quarters. When I entered, Simeon ben Eliezer sat on the couch, studying a yellowed scroll. And at my words, he glanced up, his brows drawn together in a troubled furrow.
So he told you of my transgression.
Aye, but...
And you have come to chide me for it.
On the contrary, I've come to set your heart at rest.
Oh?
What you said of the man has been said 1,000 times and more. His nickname, master, is Mesha the Homely.
This I know.
You know?
Aye. But how shall it set my heart at rest? What I did was nonetheless an error, was it not?
If every common man may say a thing, is it an error if the great and lofty Simeon ben Eliezer says it also?
Aye, it is.
But wherefore?
It is the burden of a man upon whom the people look as a leader to realize that the greater he grows in their eyes, the greater are the errors of his making. By reason of his own dimensions, he lends them stature.
I see you clearly now. And I question that your virtue ever was or shall be much endangered.
It shall be endangered, my good friend, in the instant that I cease to question it. The truly virtuous are truly vigilant, realizing the power of their words for evil as well as good. And the greater their wisdom, the less tolerant are they of their own departures from righteousness.
But surely you are too intolerant of your own. How unrighteous can it be to repeat a thing all men say?
Does an evil thing become less evil merely because it is a custom? Shall I condone a wickedness within myself on the grounds that it exists in other men? When I fall short of my own insight into life, then do I count myself a sinner.
I could not, by any means, have done what you have done. I would have perished to have so humbled myself before a capricious beggar, to plead and bend before him.
Have you a fear of bending, then, my son?
I feared your coming, lest your brilliance should, by contrast, dim my little light. I feared you would eclipse me utterly in the eyes of my small flock. I feared to humble myself before you. Had you no fear of bending so low in the sight of all the world?
I shall begin to fear, brother, only when I cease to bend.
How mean you?
I mean your fears are of the kind that lead a man into the endless wastes of fearing. My son, fear not to be as supple as the reed, but fear you like death. The rigidity of the lofty, upright cedar of the forest, even though the four winds of the world riot forth, the reed bends with them and straightens when they have passed. And the end of the reed? It is considered worthy for the making of the pen that writes the Torah. But the cedar, in the wind's full blast, is uprooted, hurled upon its face to lie in devastation. Until the coming of the woodsman and his axe. Bend you with the reed, then, and bless the Lord that you may do so. Ah, the feast, I think, is spread, Yitzhak ben Jonah.
And so at last Ben Eliezer came into the midst of my flock, and at his right hand he placed Mesha the beggar, and taught us from the pages of wisdom, saying,
"And you shall walk after the Lord your God."
How can a man walk after the Lord?
This means that he must try to emulate his ways. As he is just, we must be just. As he is merciful, we must be merciful.
Yet how can a man emulate God's justice and mercy?
He must forever scrutinize his deeds to see wherein he falters every day. He must repent his sins, for the way that leads to God is the way of penitence.
And Mesha listened like a child, bright and eagerly. And as I watched, I realized with a surge of my heart that Mesha's ugliness had all but disappeared.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Congressman Herman Koppelman of Hartford, Connecticut, former member of the House of Representatives and member of the Executive Council of the United Synagogue. Congressman Koppelman.
Every one of us knows a Mesha. These Meshas of our acquaintance get little of our attention until at some moment they rise in their full dignity and demand that measure of respect which every human being deserves. At such moments, we are jolted out of our complacency and are compelled to look upon them as people of account. Most of us have something of Rabbi Yitzhak in us. Most of us are endowed with some quality of leadership or learning which causes others to look up to us. And often, in our pride of that leadership, we look down on others less endowed. But occasionally, we Yitzhaks come across the path of a Simeon ben Eliezer. At such times, we are taken aback, possibly awed, possibly humbled, and wonder what additional quality the Master has which sets him above us. What is it that makes a leader? Greater learning? Yes. The personality to command? Yes, that too. The ability to reach people? Yes. The capacity to take advantage of opportunity? To see ahead where opportunity leads? Yes. This also is a quality of great leadership. But there is something more. It is the acknowledgement that every person has dignity and is entitled to respect and love. Respect and love, not alone for what he does, but for what he is. It is not sufficient that a leader set an example by his conduct and his deeds. A leader must have the ability to analyze himself, to recognize wherein, within himself, he might fail to live up to the standards he would set for others. He must know that his thoughts and his intentions are as important as his words and his deeds. If a man would be a living image of God, he must be able to look inside himself, to answer to himself for every thought. His fellow men will judge him by his words and deeds, but only he himself knows whether his thoughts will stand the test that God would make.
Thank you, Congressman Koppelman. Our eternal light drama today, The Cedar and the Reed, was written by Peter Barry. The music was written by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Roy Shield. Cantor David Futterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Guy Rapp, Gregory Morton, Edgar Staley, Vera Allen, Roger DeCoven, Eleanor Phelps, Robert Hastings, and Bert Cowlin. This is Bill Hanrahan speaking. This has been an NBC Radio Network production directed by Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.